Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O God. Amen. First off, everyone, I just want to say happy Mother's Day. I want to say thank you to all of our wonderful mothers, our grandmothers, and all of us who have learned and shown the spirit of generosity handed down to us by the women who have been important to us in our lives. I know that this is a day joyous for some, challenging for others, and I want this place to be a place for you to dwell in love and in peace in the midst of that. But I'm not preaching about Mother's Day today, which I'm sure is a relief to some and a mortal sin to others. That is the story in general of being a priest, right? But I would be remiss if I did not at least recognize and express my gratitude for all of those mothers who do and who have called Grace home. Now, when I read our gospel passage for the week, I have to be honest with you, there was one thing that stood out to me in my mind, just one word coming off the page at me: sheep. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been in the market for sheep. That sounds weird to say. I'm not sure if that's really even the proper terminology for it, but I'm trying to buy a few sheep. You may be wondering, and I had to wonder to myself, of course, where do you buy a sheep? There's no sheep depot, after all, so I started with the next closest thing, Craigslist. And when you type sheep in the Craigslist search bar, miraculously, you do find sheep that are for sale. Unfortunately, simply finding sheep was not the solution that I was hoping for. Instead, it left me only with more questions. There are ewes, there are rams, lambs, yearlings, meat sheep, hair sheep, wool sheep, milk sheep. Okay, so if you do want a wool sheep, then do you want a Leicester, a Shetland, a Merino, so on and so forth? The complications are never ending. And what I'm getting at here is that in my quest for a simple solution to find an animal just to mow my pasture, I ended up not with answers and certainly not with simplicity, but instead overwhelmed with questions and the nuance of what it means just to own and care for a sheep. But not only did I become aware both that I knew nothing about sheep and that there was much to know, I was made acutely aware of how much I didn't know about maybe the most prevalent theme of the New Testament: sheep and the role of the shepherd. The fact of the matter is that the gospel and all of the books of the Bible were written in a time far different than our own. They were written for an audience far different than our own too, duh. The world has changed since these stories were written and originally told. Metaphors that spoke deeply to previous generations are perhaps less effective for us, if not lost on us entirely. The truth is, as I found out this week, that I know absolutely nothing about being a shepherd. I suspect that most of you probably don't either. So in light of that, how do we understand this week's gospel? Or the role of the shepherd, or of the sheep? Now, in this week's gospel, Jesus is confronted in the temple by a group that we might understand to not be genuinely curious about Jesus' position on his messiahship, but instead invested in entrapping him in a claim that would be dangerous for him to make. Jesus understands their disingenuousness and tells them that he knows that they will not believe. They have borne witness to his works and yet continue to ask, "Who are you?" They do not hope to believe and to follow, but to antagonize. They do not belong to the flock. Jesus concludes this thought by remarking, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given to me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. Now, luckily, in this case, it doesn't take an expert shepherd to understand the metaphor. We, like sheep, are not just prone to following something, we're prone to following anything. We need something to follow. Whether it's particular ideologies, movements, other people, we are all led and oriented by something, whether we realize it or not. And yet we know that we are prone to follow what is not in our best interest. Sheep follow the sound, be it a particular whistle or other sound that they are most familiar with. In Jesus, we hear a harmonious sound and are in the care of the Good Shepherd. With Jesus, we need not fear falling victim to prey, but are protected. And yet, beyond this particular metaphor, there lies a broader truth about God. I said this to our Bible study group earlier this week, and I'll say it again to you now. The Bible did not just fall from the sky. It's inspired by God, yes. It's also inspired by humans, by their authors, by the particular times and places in which those people existed. The frequent use of the shepherd metaphor is a perfect example of this. Writers don't repeatedly use sheep and shepherding and talking about what God is like because shepherding is somehow inherently allegorical and powerful. There's nothing especially enlightening about that. Instead, it's used because it's what people knew. Many people spent long and hard days and nights keeping their flocks safe from predators and guiding them towards green pastures. And like ourselves, at the end of a long day of work, I'm certain they didn't always look to the horizon and think to themselves, ah, yes, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. I'm sure that working with sheep felt entirely ordinary, often mundane. And yet those are the places that God speaks to us most often and most clearly. So then what does this mean for us in the 21st century, reading a book of stories over 2,000 years old about shepherds? I think that what we can glean from this passage is twofold. First, look for God in the things that you know best. For a first century Judean, perhaps metaphors about shepherding worked well because they spoke to their lives. It took something routine and infused it with a sense of the Spirit. In today's gospel, Jesus remarks simply, "My sheep hear my voice." This isn't something that happens magically, but the beautiful thing is that simply by virtue of paying attention, we hear God's voice more often and more clearly in our lives. So the question is, what is shepherding for you? What is ordinary? What do we know well? Think about these things, these activities, and when you're in the midst of them, look for God within them. Like a shepherd wiping their brow as they crest a hill in the desert sun, the work of our lives may seem to be just that. But so often, our work is full of wonder and lessons if we only allow ourselves to imagine. And the second message I glean is this: God is never done with you. Jesus tells his audience, "I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch you from out of my hand." With our minds and our hearts set on the love of God, we cannot fail, as a flock surely does, or a shepherd even for that matter. We may encounter obstacles and hardships. And yet today's metaphor tells us that in the thick of our lives, in the everyday, God is right there beside us. When we feel this deeply in our hearts is when we are set free. I had the chance to visit someone recently at the hospital, and when we prayed, I offered a prayer that they might be better soon, that they might be up and out of their hospital bed and set free again. I turned to the person in the bed after offering this prayer, and I asked if there was anything else they'd like to pray for. They said something along the lines of, "Well, I do hope for all of the things that you said. I do hope to get out of here quickly, to be back on my feet again. And yet, I know that God has work for me while I'm here, too. I have work to do in the hospital. And isn't that the truth? We all have work to do here and now. My prayer was a silly one. It was for something in the future that she might see God in another moment. And she readjusted my viewpoint to say, I am here with God right now. Just as first century Judeans were called to see God in the fields, we are called to see God in each moment of our own lives. And so my prayer for all of us today is that we might see God a little bit more closely, hear God a little bit more clearly, wherever it is that we might find ourselves today. Amen.